Our church, can we be on our feet and begin to wave our hands in appreciation unto the Lord? Begin to thank God. Wave your hands for those testimonies, those good things He has done for our brethren. They've appreciated Him, they sang song unto Him. And if you've not had any spectacular testimony, just begin to thank Him, because you are next in line tonight to testify. Just begin to wave those hands unto heaven. Begin to wave those hands unto heaven. Yes, Father.
He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords.
That is who He is.
He's the one who has kept us alive from the month of January to the 24th day of December. I don't know if you have any reason to worship Him tonight. He is the pillar that holds our life. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the God who was and is to come. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Master of the universe.
Hallelujah. Can we put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ, church? Come on, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a hymn that says, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Friends, friends, let's worship Him, church. Let's worship Him. If you are still sitting down, why not rise on your feet and join in this worship? Yeah?
Your hands. Your hands to the living God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can never tell. It goes beyond. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell.
Oh, On the street of glory.
am blessed. Jesus is mine. My soul away. Jesus is mine. Yet who will I ever stay? Jesus, perishing things of day, perishing things of all for one brief day. Has from my heart away. Jesus is mine. Jesus. Mortality, well, mortality, Jesus is mine. Welcome, eternity, Jesus is mine. Welcome, all of them blessed. Welcome, welcome, sweet saints of rest. Welcome, my Savior's prayer. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is mine, that's why I'm rejoicing. God bless you, you are welcome. Once again, may we be seated. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that accepts you, a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Brothers and sisters, the whole world is celebrating Christmas today. It's Christmas Day already. We are past 12. Somebody is rejoicing. Don't yet rejoice. The whole world is in a mood of celebration today. The whole world. And Brother Abraham told us something. He said, if you see the world going right, you go left. If you see the world going left, you go right. The Christian and the world are opposites. The Christian and the world are like words and opposites. So that when you see the world rejoicing in something, look well. There is no man that has the spirit of Christ that is rejoicing with them. John chapter 8 verse 32 says what? It says, ye shall know the truth. And the truth that you know, we do what? Will make you free. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. I have a reason for reading all these scriptures. It says, listen, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We have not followed fiction. We have not followed imaginations. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we are what? We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. Another scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound teachings, sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto what? Fables. Fables, in the context we just read, is the opposite of truth. Truth is reality. Fables are fictions. And the Bible says that you, the Christian, you have not followed cunningly devised fables. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. For my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, this is the sorrowful part. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Hallelujah. The scriptures I read are to give a background, a foundation for my little talk tonight. One of the identities, the characteristics of the bride of Christ is that they worship God by revelation. They do not follow fables, they hold on to truth. They worship God by revelations, not by traditions of men. Not by doctrines and traditions of men. That is why in this church, our pastor will tell you, tell those of us, our brethren from the eastern part, that in Christ there is nothing like Osu, because Osu is a tradition of men. He says we are all one in Christ. The bride of Christ serves God by revelation. We don't follow him by fables or by traditions of men. My brothers and sisters, I want to announce to you today that Christmas is a fable. Christmas is a fable. Today is December 25th. Do you know why several people are not in church today? It's not because they traveled. It's because this is Christmas Day. So they left the worship of God. They left the service of God. They left the time they should come and charge themselves up in prayers. And they are there preparing for what? Fables. There is no ounce of spirituality in Christmas Day. You need to be established. We don't follow God by fables. Not because the whole world, the whole Christian world, the whole world is doing it, then we say we do it. Christmas is fable. It is a tradition of men. It is an ordinance of man, not of God. And in Mark chapter 7, let's read Mark chapter 7. The Lord was rebuking the Pharisees. He said, you reject the commandment of God and hold on to the tradition of men. He says, you serve God by the ordinance of God. Mark chapter 7 from verse 1. Let's read it. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding what? The tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? What did Jesus say? He answered and said unto them, well, as Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines, what? The commandments of men. Oh, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of man, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. Verse 9, and he said unto them, full well, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Christmas Day celebration, December 25th, is vain worship. And let us not attach any form of spirituality to it at all. Praise the living God. To wake up one morning and just to say Jesus was born on December 25th is wrong. It is fable. Where is the scriptural evidence for it? Where is the scriptural proof for it? Christmas means what? Christ Mass. It is a Roman Catholic product. Christ Mass, Mass for Christ. And it is done when? On December 25th. The funny thing is that Jesus was not born in December. He was not even born in December. That is the worst part. So how can you wake up one morning and fix a date and say every year we will gather to celebrate the birth of Christ? Is it Jesus that gave you that commandment? And many Christians see this as a very, Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. Well, I have bad news for you today. Christmas celebration is not about the birth of Jesus. It has no connection with Jesus Christ. It is not commanded of the Lord. It is not of the Lord. It is not inspired or engineered by the Spirit of God. It is pure fables. It is vain worship. Somebody can reject water baptism and tell you it has expired. Somebody can reject Holy Communion and feet washing, the ordinances that God says we should remember and practice, And every year, the person is celebrating December 25th, Christmas Day. What has December 25th, what has it got to do with your salvation? Christian brother or sister. Jesus was not born in December. And it is in the Bible. So why do you pick a day and say this is the birthday of Jesus? If Jesus were alive today, he will sue you. Because December 25th is not his birthday. I don't know what it is called in the law. Is that impersonation or what? Why would you pick a date and say this is the birthday of Jesus? And the Bible makes us know otherwise. The bride of Christ can trace down and narrow down the birthday of Jesus from scriptures. We can look at this scripture and say between this time and this time Christ was born. And when we looked at it, December 25th is not there. In fact, December did not even appear there. Brothers and sisters, you need to serve God by revelation. You don't follow the world. In the law, God said you shall not follow the multitude to do wickedly. You don't follow the world to sell. Because for the past 300 and how many days of the year, you don't remember Jesus. You now set aside only one day. Does it make sense? Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. It is a cunningly devised fable. And if you are practicing it, it is vain worship. Now, let's look at scripturally when Christ was born. I thought somebody would say amen. Let's look at when Christ was born. Because the first scripture we read in 1 Peter 3:15, he says you should have a reason. When somebody asks you, why are you like this? Why are you taking this stand? He says you should have a reason to answer that person in meekness. Let's scripturally understand the birthday of Jesus in the exposition of our pastor some time ago. So let's sit back. If I were you, I'll bring out my writing material. The pastor broke it down in a video we are going to watch now. And scripturally, you can know between when and when Jesus Christ was born. And you will see that it is nothing close to December 25th, not even December.
Well, you all know the Bride Assembly were a product of the Restoration Ministry. And I quickly go to Galatians chapter 1, and I read from verse 6, when Apostle Paul began to notice a lot of changes, a lot of infiltrations of scriptural things into the church, he began to warn the church in Galatians chapter 1, and he says, I marvel not from verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. Then he warns in verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That gives us the certainty of the scripture. And you know, when we talk about restoration, the church has left Bible Christianity. And God, in his final attempt before the rapture, to bring the people back to the scripture, back to Bible Christianity, back to the faith of the apostolic fathers, has raised us up again to scream it to the true bride. Because the truth is, a lot of people just become Christians without even knowing what Christianity is all about. Well, I'm not here to criticize anybody. I'm here to let us know what is the true birthday of Jesus Christ. But certainly, the birthday of Jesus Christ is not 25th of December. 25th December is not the birthday of Jesus Christ. And I would like us to look at it by the scripture, because everything I preach, I have my scriptural backup. The idea of Christianity at all stems from what is written in the scripture. The scripture is our constitution. The scripture is our base, is our bearing, is our everything. And if you're going to disagree with me, please don't use idea. Don't tell me men say people agree. This is what the Holy Ghost has established for us, and this is what we must follow. Anything you do contrary to this Bible, the Bible says, whosoever promotes it, let that person be accursed. Anyway, I'm not cursing anybody, but let's go to the birthday of Jesus Christ, because the birthday of Jesus Christ is in this Bible. The birthday of Jesus Christ is in this Bible. And now, in Luke chapter 1, you get the story from verse 1. Luke chapter 1, you read it from verse 5 to verse 10, and from verse 23 to verse 25. I'll give you the scriptures because of lack of time. We cannot read everything. But let me quickly read from verse 5. And it says, there was in the days of Herod, because this is where we get the key for the birthday of Jesus Christ. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. Note it. His course in verse 5 is the course of Abia, and he entered there during the in the order of his course. The course of Abia, we see it variously in the Bible, they all mean the same thing. You see Abia in 1 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 10, and Matthew chapter 1 verse 7. It's also referred to as Abijam. It's the same thing they're referring to. Abijam, 1 Kings chapter 15 verse 1, or Abijah. 2 Chronicles chapter 13 verse 1 and chapter 14 verse 1. Now, when we talk about the course of Abia, David had prepared the ground for the building of the temple, because God stopped him from building the temple. He prepared it for his son to build, and he set not only the material, even the order of service. And he got the Levites and then put them to serve in the temple, two. And we see that in 1 Chronicles chapter 23 from verse 1 to verse 6, and from verse 24 to verse 32, it lets us know the duties of the Levites as David set for. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, from verse 5 to verse 19, you see the courses of the sons of Aaron. Two for every month. The first one comes, fulfills his own part, leaves. The second one comes, fulfills his own part, and they go two, like that. They were 24 in numbers, and two for every month. And we know that the first month for the in the Jewish calendar is the month of Nisan, and that is established in Esther chapter 3 verse 7, and also Esther chapter 8 verse 12 lets us know the month Adar is the 12th month. And if you look at the Jewish calendar, if you can see it on the screen, the Jewish calendar, you see it there. We let you know the corresponding Roman calendar. The Jewish calendar is different from the Roman calendar. The first month, for instance, Nisan, is also known as Abib, falls between March and April of the Roman calendar. The second month, Iyar, or Zivhe, falls between April and May of the Roman calendar. Then we have Sivan, between May and June. We have Tammuz, between June and July. We have Ab, between July and August. The next month is Elul, between August and September, and Tishri or Etanim, between September and October, falls within that period. And then we have the month Heshvan or Bul, and falls between October and November of the Roman calendar. Now Kislev, it falls between November and December. Tebet, between December and January. And Shebat falls between January and February. And the last month, Adar, between February and March. Now, if you look at the birth of Jesus Christ in And Luke chapter 1, where it was spelled out, notes that the angel visited Zechariah. Now quickly, let me quickly let us know that the month, according to First Chronicles chapter 24, if you read it carefully there, that Abijah, the cause of Abijah fell between in the month of Tammuz, that is between June and July. So it means the angel visited Zechariah in the month of Tammuz, which falls between June and July. I want you to take note of that. That is when the angel visited Zechariah. And that same month, Elizabeth was pregnant. Now, the angel again visited Mary in the month of Tebet, which falls between December and January, by which time Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, according to the scripture. Now you notice that by the next year now, the month of Nisan or Abib, that is falling between March and April, Elizabeth was exactly 9 months pregnant. She delivers John the Baptist, by which time now Mary was 3 months pregnant. That is, by March and April, Mary was already 3 months pregnant. And remember that we all know that John the Baptist, all theologians, they know that John the Baptist was 6 months senior to Jesus Christ, because Mary was already pregnant 3 months when Elizabeth delivered. Now, if you count 6 months ahead from when Mary was 3 months pregnant, when Elizabeth, of course, delivered, you will get to the month of Tishri or Etanim, which falls exactly between September and October. So, Jesus Christ was born between September and October in the Jewish month of Tishri or Etanim. I repeat, not December, according to the scripture, following the course of Abijah, Jesus Christ was born in the month of September or October. I repeat, Jesus Christ was not born, according to the Bible, in the month of December. He was born in the month of September, between September and October of the year. Praise God. I know you'll be surprised. Then how come? Okay, let's even look at it from another angle. Now, Jesus Christ died at the age of 33 and a half. Everybody knows that. Every theologian knows that. 33 and a half years old when he died. Now, he died in April. And if he died in April, it means you have to count 6 months back. Counting 6 months back between March and April to September, October, which is the birthday, it will fall exactly between September and October, which is when he was actually born. Count 6 months back. You can't miss it. It's exactly what happened. Thirdly, Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says, shepherds were grazing their sheep when they heard of the birth of Jesus Christ. And they cannot be shepherds, don't take their sheep to the mountains in the month of December, because it will be too cold. It's winter time and shepherds don't go out by that time. Therefore, they were certainly not out there in December. Certainly, it will be in a different period. I just want you to take note of that. But what is a celebration that takes place in December? What is a celebration that takes place in December 25th? December 25th was long celebrated before the birthday of Jesus Christ. I have a little publication here I want to quote from, if time will permit me, from the publication of the United Church of God. This was published sometime in 1999, and the Lord just caused me to see it, to substantiate what I have always believed. And in one of the pages here, page 5, he spoke about how the Christmas date was set. Yeah, and I quote, he said, Gerard and Patricia Del Rey explained the evolution of December 25 becoming an official Roman celebration. Saturnalia and the Calends, that's the new moon, were the celebrations most familiar to early Christians. December 17 to 24 and January 1 to 3. But the tradition of celebrating December 25th as Christ's birthday came to the Romans from Persia. Mithra, the Persian god of light and sacred contracts, was born out of a rock on December 25. Rome was famous for its flirtations with strange gods and cults. And in the 3rd century, that is about the 274, the Christian emperor Aurelian established the festival of De Invicto Solis, the day of the invisible sun, on December 25th. Mithra was an embodiment of the sun, so this period of his rebirth was a major day in Mithraism, which had become Rome's latest official religion with the patronage of Aurelian. It is believed that the Emperor Constantine adhered to Mithraism up to the time of his conversion to Christianity. He was probably instrumental in seeing that the major feast of his old religion was carried over to his new faith. Although it is difficult to determine the first time anyone celebrated 25th December as Christmas, historians are in general agreement that it was sometime during the 4th century. This is an amazingly late date. Christmas was not observed in Rome, the capital of empire, until about 300 years after Christ's death. Its origins cannot be traced back to either the teachings or practices of the earliest Christians. The introduction of Christmas represented a significant departure from the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints, as we see in Jude verse 3. Now let's look at Santa Claus dresses like I dress now. I sometimes think that 25th December is also the birthday of Santa Claus, not the birthday of Jesus Christ. And in this same publication, I read from page 6, it said, many of the other trappings of Christmas are merely carryovers from ancient celebrations. Santa Claus comes from St. Nicholas, the saint whose festival was celebrated in December, and the one who in other respects was most nearly in accord with the dim traditions of Saturn as the hero of the Saturnalia. That is Santa Claus. And before I round up in page 8 of this same publication, I read again a few paragraphs here concerning the contentions in Christmas. In the beginning, Christians were opposed to Christmas. Some of the earliest controversy erupted over whether Jesus' birthday should be celebrated at all. As early as AD 245, the church father Origen was proclaiming it hedonish to celebrate Christ's birthday as if he were merely a temporal ruler, when his spiritual nature should be the main concern. This view was echoed throughout the centuries, but found strong widespread advocacy only with the rise of Protestantism. To these serious-minded, sober clerics, the celebration of Christmas flew in the face of all they believed. Drunken reverie on Christmas. The day was not even known to be Christ's birthday. It was merely an excuse to continue the customs of pagan Saturnalia. The fathers, I'm quoting from the Encyclopedia Britannica, it adds, the fathers of the second and third centuries, such as Clement of Alexandria, Origen, and Epiphanius, contended that Christmas was a copy of a pagan celebration, unquote. The decision to celebrate Christ's birth on December 25 was far from universally accepted. Christmas, Christians of Armenia and Syria accused the Christians of Rome of sun worship for celebrating Christmas on December 25. Pope Leo the Great in the 5th century tried to remove certain practices at Christmas which he considered in no way different from sun worship. Indeed, of all times of the year suggested as the birth of Christ, December 25 could not have been the date. See? To the early Christians, the idea of celebrating the birthday of a religious figure would have seemed at best peculiar, at worst blasphemous. Being born into this world was nothing to celebrate. What mattered was leaving this world and entering the next in a condition pleasing to God. When early Christians associated a feast day with a certain person, such as a bishop or martyr, it was usually the date of the person's death. If you wanted to search the New Testament world for people who attach significance to birthdays, your search will quickly narrow to pagans. The Romans celebrated the birthdays of the Caesars, and most un-Christian Mediterranean religions attach importance to the natal feast of a passion of supernatural figures. If Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, and his purpose in coming was anything like what is supposed, then in celebrating his birthday each year, Christians do violence, not honor, to his memory. For in celebrating a birthday at all, we sustain exactly the kind of tradition his coming is thought to have been designed to cast down. Unquote. This is from the United Church of God publication, but tracing what we have always believed in the end time message, what we've always believed in the followership of the restored ministry. And in conclusion, I have what Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 8 to 11, and he said, "How be it then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days," verse 10, "and months, and times, and years, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." And Deuteronomy chapter 12, I read from verse 29. To the Jews, he has always warned against idolatry. From verse 29, "When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land, take it to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did this nation serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination to the Lord which he hated have ye done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. Whatsoever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, and diminish, nor diminish from it." This is the word of the Lord. Now what am I saying? I say Christmas is not a Christian celebration, because 25th December was long celebrated before Christ was born. And the truth is, revelated Christians are not part of this celebration. How can you be celebrating Jesus Christ? And those who celebrate it more, they are more unbelievers than Christians. This is a period they go and drink fornication. This is a period that alcohol, market for alcohol is higher than anything else. Nightclubs are open Christmas Day, and all manner of crimes and everything that Christ was born to destroy is here celebrating within that period, when it should have been a period of sober reflection of the fact that a Savior has been born. But you know that it is not a Christian celebration. That's why the pagans and the heathens are the ones celebrating it. Christians don't bother with such. And what I advise Christians at this period is enjoy the holiday, take advantage of the holiday, enjoy it, and enjoy the fun of the holidays. But don't forget to tell your children that this is not the birthday of Jesus Christ. And for more of those sermons and for other sermons that pertain to the celebration, the restoration ministry, you can always visit our website or visit us. And I'll call any of the numbers you see on the screen, and they will be glad to share this revelation with you. The eyes of understanding are being opened. And so, I wish you a happy year end, and I wish you a happy new year in advance as you join us in the restoration ministry. Thank you, and God bless you.
What you have just heard tonight Many GOs don't know. That is why they can easily organize Christmas carol in their church. What you have just heard, many GOs don't know it. You are blessed for being here tonight. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, maybe you have already decorated your house with Christmas tree and Christmas lights. And if somebody should enter your living room now, what will be here is jingle bells, jingle bells. You are not celebrating anything Christian, though. There is no connection between Christ and Christmas. From what our pastor taught us, just brought out, if he was born between September and October, why are you fixing his date on 25th of December? Furthermore to that, the Holy Scriptures is against you making any day holy or special. Colossians chapter 2 verse 16 and 17. Let's have it. It says, let no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of what? Any holy day or holiday. He says, of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5 verse 16. 2 Corinthians 5 16 says what? He says, henceforth, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Listen, he says, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. So why are you bringing a day to say this is the day Christ was born? It is complete fallacy. Scripturally, he was not born in December 25th. Why are you making December 25th the birthday of Christ if at all you want to celebrate him indeed? Christmas was not celebrated until the year 336 AD, when Emperor Constantine the Great, we've been treating this on Sunday school, how this emperor Christianized idolatry, Christianized paganism, how we brought pagan practices and gave them Christian names to deceive Christians. Christmas was not celebrated until Emperor Constantine was on the throne. And let me let you know, there were already other gods that were being celebrated on the same December 25th, hundreds and thousands of years before Jesus Christ was born. There were other gods. Let's look at it. There's a list of other gods that were born on December 25th. For you to know why that particular day. It is not God that gave them that day. They were not inspired or led by the Spirit of God. December 25th, list of other gods born on December 25th. The list of other gods. Look at one, Buddha. Buddha is an Indian god that once had a lot of souls in his soul bank account. His worshippers claim Buddha's birth falls on December 25th, what? 563 BC, before Christ was born. They do what? They claim that Buddha was born of a virgin called Maya, long before Isaiah became a prophet to foresee that Jesus too will be born of another virgin called Mary. They claim their God was immaculately conceived and that the world shall be saved through him. When was Buddha born, church? Answer me if you are following. Let's go back to Buddha. When was Buddha born? December 25th, 563 years before Jesus Christ was born. The next God that was born on December 25th is who? Krishna. In the same India, Krishna's soul's bank account swelled with souls long before Adam arose from the dust to eat an apple and put the world in trouble. He was framed to be the incarnate of the god Vishnu and born of a virgin called Devaki. Krishna enjoys the luxury of different date of birth every year, depending on the spiritual mood of his followers. One of Krishna's date of birth is what? December 25th. Are you reading with me, church? Are you reading with me? Chorus it together. One of Krishna's dates of birth is what? December 25th. This was when? Before Christ was born. Let's look at the next god, Horus. The followers of the Egyptian solar deity, Horus, claim he suckled at the breast of a virgin centuries before Jesus did. One major controversy surrounding his birth, that his virgin mother has a confusing gender. But we know nothing is impossible with God. Horus worshippers celebrate the birth of their god when?
December 25th. All this pagan worship were before the birth of Christ. I'm going somewhere. Let's look at the next one. Mithras. This is the most popular one in the Roman Empire. Mithras is yet another interesting god that followers claim was born on the 25th of December. This god, unlike Jesus and his other peers, was not born of a virgin or of any human for that matter. His worshippers claim he simply emanated from a rock. Science calls the breaking down of rocks withering. Mithras happens to be one giant debris of rocks that fell out of December 25th. This is the sun god that was worshipped by Emperor Constantine. They called him the sun god, Mithras, also known as the unconquered sun. His birthday was the 25th of December. It was this date of birth so that they will not stop their idolatrous festivities. So that they will not stop their idolatrous festivals. They changed the title from the birthday of the sun god to the birthday of the son of God. It is idolatry in continuity. Praise God. This was where they changed the birth of Christ, or claimed that the son of God, if the son God's birthday is 25th December, let's change it to the son of God's birthday, December 25th. They wanted to continue their idolatrous festivity. Let's see another god born on 25th December. Amadioa. Indibokwenu. Amadioa is the Igbo god of who? I'm sure many Igbo people don't know that Amadioa's birthday is today. So please, remove Santa Claus, remove red and whatever, and stop saying Merry Christmas. Let's say Merry Amadiamos. Amadioa is the Igbo god of thunder. He was demonized and dumped by his worshippers when the land of Jesus and other seemingly true gods. The Igbos believe that God predates men. No one knows Amadioa's birthday, but it will not be a coincidence if he was also born today. If I add and say Shango was born today, will you say I'm wrong? Can you see the connection? December 25th was long celebrated before Christ was born. So for them to continue the idolatry, then they gave it a title. It is the son of God's birthday. No, sir. It is not the son of God's birthday. Of course, you are already hearing fireworks outside the church compound already. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And this celebration was immoral, was full of orgies, was full of all manner of reveries and banquets, when the Bible says we should not do such. How can you connect Christmas celebration and Christ? It is only the name, the title that was changed. It is idolatry, continuous idolatry. It is idolatry in continuity. Praise the living God. Those were the other gods born on December 25th. Now, this Mithra, we saw a god, the god of the sun, Mithra, the sun god rather. He is traced back to who? Nimrod. Let's see the Nimrod's connection. Those of us that have been following our Sunday school. Hallelujah. Those of us that have been following our Sunday school. We've spoken about Nimrod. We still did last Sunday. That this is the origin of idolatry in the world today. Babylon. That is why the Bible refers to another Babylon as Mystery Babylon. Praise God. Now, see the connection of Nimrod to Christmas. Why is Christmas celebrated on December 25th? Most people assume that it has always been a Christian holiday and that it is a celebration of the birth of Jesus. But it turns out that Jesus was not born on December 25th. However, a whole bunch of pagan gods were born on that day. In fact, pagans celebrated a feast involving a Yorick supernatural figure that visits an evergreen tree and leaves gifts on December 25th, long before Jesus was ever born. From its early Babylonian roots, the celebration of the birth or rebirth of the sun god on December 25th came to be celebrated under different names all over the ancient world. You see, the winter solstice occurs a few days before December 25th each year. The winter solstice is the day of the year when daylight is the shortest. In ancient times, December 25th was the day each year when the day started to become noticeably longer. Thus, it was fitting for the early pagans to designate December 25th as the date of the birth or rebirth of the sun, S-U-N. The truth is that thousands of years before there was a Santa Claus. Church, listen, this is historical fact. There was another supernatural figure who supposedly visits a tree and leaves gifts every December 25th. His name was Nimrod. The celebration of December 25th goes all the way back to ancient Babylon. According to ancient Babylonian tradition, Semiramis, who eventually became known as the goddess, these are the different names of Semiramis: Astarte, Asherah, Ashtoreth, Isis, Ishtar, Easter, in different pagan religions, claimed that after the untimely death of her son and husband Nimrod, she was married to her own son Nimrod, a full-grown evergreen tree sprang up overnight from a dead tree stump. Semiramis claimed that Nimrod would visit that evergreen tree and leave gifts each year on the anniversary of his birth. That would be 24th of December, which just happened to be on December 25th. This is the true origin of what? The Christmas tree. Can you see the Christmas connection to Nimrod? Those of us that attended our last two Sunday school classes will understand this better. So this celebration goes back to the origin of idolatry in the world. The Babylonian system. When idolatry was manufactured for the whole world, Babylon. I told you the Tower of Babel was not just a literal building they were building. It was them starting their own religion, turning the world away from the worship of the one true God to idolatry. And Christmas has its origin in this Babylonian tradition. Now, this Emperor Constantine only continued his idolatrous practices, giving them Christian names and titles. December 25th has nothing, I repeat, has nothing to do with Christ. It is the continuity of idolatry. It is the continuity of paganism. There is no ounce of spirituality in Christmas Day celebration. Praise the living God. Furthermore to that, let's look at some of the Christian things. Okay. The Roman Catholic Church started this thing. The early apostles never celebrated a Christmas day. Historically and biblically, there is nothing like that. It is a product of that Antichrist system, the Roman Catholic system. Just like you will never find the worship of Mary in the Bible, so also will you never find Christmas Day in the Bible. It's the same spirit that created the worship of Mary, is the same spirit that instituted the Christmas Day celebration. It has nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. Praise the living God. It has nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. Your Christmas tree, we just read the article. How they say that Nimrod will visit a tree every eve of his birthday and will drop gifts. And yet, these are part of the traditions that go along with Christmas Day celebration. Let's read an article on Father Christmas so that we understand some things. Tell me, in Father Christmas and the Lord Jesus Christ, on December 25th, who is more popular? Church, answer me. No, I'm not stopping you to go home. I'm not stopping you from eating your rice that you have prepared. You just need to know the truth. Who is more popular on Christmas Day? Father Christmas or Jesus Christ? Your children that are rejoicing Christmas Day, is it Jesus they want to see or Father Christmas? Let's read an article about Father Christmas. Santa Claus may owe his earliest influence to who? Odin, also known as Wotan, a god revered by Germanic peoples in Northern Europe as early as 2 BCE. Odin was celebrated during Yule, a pagan holiday that took place midwinter. During this time, Odin was said to lead the wild hunts, a ghostly procession through the sky. Why do you always see Father Christmas riding reindeers and flying through the sky? He's not using an aeroplane, he's using reindeers, and you see him on the moon. It is the continuity of a pagan god, Odin. Your Father Christmas that you are taking your children to see has no connection with Christ. It is a pagan ceremony. Now look at, like many other pagan holidays that later merge with early Christian traditions, element of Yule influenced the celebration of Christmas to the extent that the word Yuletide is now synonymous with the Christmas season. Examples of Yuletide traditions that merge with Christmas include what? The Yule log and singing door to door. It's unclear to what extent Odin in particular has had an effect on Christmas, but as a bearded, cloaked man who traveled through the winter night sky, Odin undoubtedly bears similarities to Santa Claus, sparking speculation that the god was an early pagan influence on modern-day mythical figure. However, many elements of Santa Claus, especially his reputation as a secret giver of gifts, can be more correctly traced back to Saint Nicholas, a historical figure. This 4th century Christian bishop was of Greek descent and lived in the city of Myra, now located in modern-day Turkey, where he was known for his generosity. By the Middle Ages, a tradition had been established in which many European Christian children were left gifts on the evening of December 5th, allowing them to wake up and open their presents in honor of St. Nicholas' feast day on December 6th. The legend of St. Nicholas became further mythologized in the Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, and northern France, where he was known as Sinterklaas. Sinterklaas was said to have a long white beard and wore a red cape over a bishop's garment, similar to what the real St. Nicholas would have worn. He also carried a big red book full of children's names, listing whether each had been naughty or nice that year. The celebration of St. Nicholas evolved more during 16th century Protestant Reformation, which eroded a split from the Roman Catholic Church. During this time, Martin Luther discouraged the veneration of saints to prevent them from gaining a cult-like following. The feast of St. Nicholas was swept up in these changes, and the clergy urged Protestant parents to give gifts on Christmas Eve instead, to more closely associate the practice with Jesus' birth. Although many complied with the new dates, St. Nicholas and the Dutch Sinterklaas remained the face of the gift-giving tradition among Christians of various denominations. While Santa Claus and St. Nicholas continue to play a pivotal role in Christmas celebrations in various areas of Europe, England eventually discarded the tradition in favor of Father Christmas, the personification of a holiday cheer. A bearded reveler who brought gifts to children. References to Father Christmas appeared as early as the 15th century, when the North American British colonies were established in the 17th and 18th centuries. European immigrants brought tales about St. Nicholas, Sinterklaas, and Father Christmas from their own respective countries. And the stories from the old world eventually began to match together. The Dutch word Sinterklaas was anglicized as Santa Claus as early as 1773. And the American Santa began to take on a life of his own. Can you see the history of Saint Santa Claus, Father Christmas? Firstly, they trace it back to a pagan god, an idol. Then they trace it back to Saint Nicholas. And the Roman Catholics don't make you a saint until you die. And Roman Catholics do what? They worship their saints. Hope you know. Roman Catholics worship their saints. So they're telling you Santa Claus is who? A god. Your Father Christmas is another god. So what has that got to do with Jesus Christ's church? What about Christmas trees? Let's read an article about Christmas trees. Some of us have already put Christmas trees in our house with Christmas lights singing all the time. Christmas trees are widely associated with the Christian holiday, but their origins are far from the Christ-worshipping standards they represent today. Evergreen trees. You need to know why that tree is always green. Christmas tree is not blue, it's not red. It's an evergreen tree. Evergreen trees, plants that stay green year-round, have been celebrated in many cultures for hundreds of years. But Americans are not always accepting of the tradition. Christmas trees did begin as a pagan tradition as early as the 4th century Common Era. According to ABC News, European pagans were largely responsible for dressing their homes with the branches of evergreen fir trees in order to bring color and light to their dull winters. But pagans weren't the only people to do this.
Romans also used the branches for decoration during the festival of Saturnalia, which took place from December 17 to December 23 in honor of the god Saturn. Because of their pagan roots, American settlers were not quick to jump on the Christmas tree trend. German settlers were the first to introduce the indoor evergreen to the new country, but it didn't go over smoothly according to the History Channel. The newly settled Puritans were big supporters of Christmas and widely opposed the pagan influences. Early government officials, including William Bradford and Oliver Cromwell, tried to destroy new Christmas traditions of decorating, dismissing them as aiding and pagan mockery. In 1659, the General Court of Massachusetts even made a law that celebrating Christmas, Massachusetts is a state in America, they made a law that celebrating Christmas was illegal. The only thing allowed was church attendance. No decorations, no especially trees should be seen. So how did Americans evolve into Christmas tree fanatics? There are no clear answers, but a few theories stand. One claims an evergreen tree was chopped down in an anger in the 8th century CE by English Benedictine monk Boniface when he saw an evergreen tree used in a pagan ritual. This version claims the tree falls as a pagan symbol turned into a declaration of Christianity. The tree was then as a triangular symbol of the Holy Trinity. Can you hear? Whether or not that's the real reason for the spark of religious interest in the evergreen trees, the German community began to accept both trees and former Christmas decorations in the 17th centuries. It wasn't until the mid-19th century Americans found acceptance for the once pagan symbol in the Christmas holiday. Now, many argue that Christmas tree has even lost its roots in Christianity. Much like it has lost roots in pagan celebration, the Christmas holiday has evolved to other religions and retail celebrations. So what is spiritual about Christmas tree? There's nothing spiritual about it. In fact, God even warns his children from carving any tree and making an idol of it. So Christmas is introducing what? It's not even introducing, it is the practice of paganism. You can't have the spirit of God and be comfortable with the celebration of Christmas. You cannot truly have the spirit of God and be comfortable with the celebration of Christmas. If light and darkness has nothing in connection, Christmas and Christ has nothing in connection. It is pagan practice continuous. Praise the living God. Many of us know this carol, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle on the way. What is Christian about jingle bells? Which verse? How will singing jingle bells get you in the spirit? Let's have the lyrics of that song. You only know the first stanza. Let's see the other stanzas of that song so that you tell me what is spiritual about it. Dashing through the snow, anyone else open sleep, or that feet we go, laughing all the way, bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Second stanza. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride, and soon Miss Fanny Bright was seated by my side. The horse was lean and lank, misfortune seemed his loss. He got into a drifted bank, and then we got up short. The next stanza. The third stanza. The third stanza, I mixed it. Or 2 weeks ago, the story I must tell. I went out on the snow, and on my back I fell. A gent was riding by in a one-horse open sleigh. He laughed as the sprawling light but quickly drove away. Ah, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. The last stanza says what? Dashing through the snow. There's a stanza that is missing. So what is spiritual and what is pointing to the birth of Christ in that song? Let's have it again. The second stanza, look at what, follow the thoughts. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride, and soon, who? Miss Fanny Bright was seated by my side.
He said he would take a ride and soon miss. A lady was seated by his side. The horse was lean and lank. Misfortune seemed his lot. He got into a drifted bark and then he got upset. What is spiritual about that? Feliz Navidad. I hope you know. Is it Spanish or Italian? I think that's Spanish for Merry Christmas. Nothing more. Another carol says, the first, and the way they sing it, you think there's something spiritual about it. The first Noel. I'm singing it. I want to point out to you the error from this song. The angels they sing was to set them for shepherds in field as they lay. Listen. In field where they lay keeping their flock on a cold winter. That has already made the song an error. How can shepherds keep their flock on a cold winter night? You see that many of us are just following God by tradition. If truth is what you are looking for, you cannot be comfortable with the celebration of Christmas. How can shepherds keep their flocks on a cold winter night? No matter how much you like the song, it is not a spiritual song. Sorry. So Christmas celebration doesn't even resemble Christ. Your Santa Claus, that is traced back to the god Odin, that was long worshipped and celebrated before the birth of Christ, is what they are continuing with Santa Claus, now known as Father Christmas. If it is about Jesus, what concerns Father Christmas with Jesus? We need to wake up. Some of us, you will not eat good food from the first day of the year till December 25th. Who do you this? Even on your own birthday, you cannot even give yourself a special treat. You are waiting for a special day. December 25th, Christmas Day. And the Western world has promoted this because it is a time for commerce. It's a time for commerce. They will make money. Christmas lights, Christmas trees, everything. Why do worldly people, sinners, who are alienated from God, why are they comfortable in celebration of Christmas? Every year, a sinner that has not repented will tell you Merry Christmas. So it has nothing to do with Christ. It has nothing to do with Christ. Idolatry with Christian name called Christmas. But the bride's eyes are opened. We can see better. We know where they're coming from and we know their plan and their purpose. We will not join in idolatrous practices. Don't wait till December 25th before you eat good food. Don't wait till December 25th before you kill turkey. Don't wait till December 20 before you kill goats. There is nothing special about Christmas. It is not Christian in origin. It is complete paganism. It is complete fables. Nothing in the celebration of Christmas will make you more spiritual. So forget about it and live your life. So are you saying we should not celebrate the birth of Christ? What's the meaning of celebration? Is it not to honor somebody? If it's my birthday, you're celebrating me, you are honoring me. To honor the birth of Christ is to understand the purpose for which Christ was born. And the book of Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 tells us something. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall do what? He shall save his people from their sins. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest. That he might do what? That he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. If you truly want to celebrate the birth of Christ, if you truly want to honor Christ, repent from your sins. Turn away from every sin and submit to him. The Bible says the hour has come that the true worshippers will worship the Father in what? In spirit and in truth. If you really want to honor Jesus Christ, understand the purpose for his manifestation. The purpose for his manifestation is to take you away from sin. The purpose for the manifestation of Jesus is to turn a sinner to a saint. If you really want to celebrate the birth of Christ, repent from your sin. Say, Father, I really want to look at my life and say, no, I have not been serving you. I have not been faithful to you. I have not given you the true fear as a creator. And you are made manifest for my sake. I turn away from all my sins today. I submit to your leadership. I submit to your word. I follow you in spirit and in truth. That is the true Christmas. To worship God in spirit and truth is the true Christmas. Anything short of this is paganism, is idolatry. So brothers and sisters, don't be caught up with all the rubbish that is going on in the world today. Thank God today is Saturday and you're here for VG. When you get home, sleep very well. Sleep very well and come to church early on Sunday morning. And some of us that have children, if you have been making good time for your children, they will not see Christmas as a special thing. If on their birthday, you throw a good Christian party for them, they will not be waiting for Christmas Day. Your child's birthday, your own birthday, is more important than Christmas Day. True Christmas celebration, if you truly want to honor and glorify Christ, how truthful and faithful have you been to Him? Turn away from your sins. Repent. The purpose of Christ is to save us from our sins. You cannot still be a fornicator and you say you are celebrating Christmas. You cannot still be living in disobedience and you say you are celebrating Christmas. You cannot be lying and you say you are celebrating Christmas. You cannot be a gossip and you say you are celebrating Christmas. You cannot still be living in worldliness and carnality and you say you are celebrating Christmas. The true celebration of Christ's birth is to turn away from all sins. And the Lord shall help us in Jesus' name. Let's be on our feet.
Thanks unto the Lord. My faithful Savior, how rich His favor, for us to be like Him, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. Forgive.